The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
It's PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned, divisional round week. 8 teams left. And, you know, usually we got to jam 16 games into 1 hour. Last week it was 6 games into 1 hour. We got 4 games, so we can really take our time and sound it out and think it through before we get every game wrong. Chris, hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're right. It's going to be good. Well, I mean, we can unpack these games a little bit, talk about a lot of different matchups, things like that, and I'm so excited for this weekend. To me, this is my favorite weekend of the year. And the whole year, just Saturday, Sunday, and it's set up this year to be perfect. We were just talking about this before we came on air. I mean, we got what we really believe is the 8 best teams, and even though you love to see upsets and all those type of things, you know, I'm glad we didn't see anything crazy last weekend, because now it lends itself to really 4 great matchups where, listen, I think you can make a case for any one of these teams, the underdogs, to win a football game, whatever. But I'm pumped, and I can't wait to sit my butt on the couch for a first time all year on Sunday and watch a game on the couch at my house. Can't wait.
As Pete Demolitis pointed out, in the aftermath of Super Wild Card Weekend, in a normal Wild Card Weekend, prior years where there isn't a 2-7 game, it would have been a clean sweep by the road teams. The 5s and the 6s both won straight up on the road. That got obscured given that the 2 seeds won in each conference for the first time of this super wild card format. But, you know, the Bills got to run for their money by the Colts, and there's eventually going to be, it's going to happen sooner than later, one of these 7 seeds is going to win against a 2 seed now that the 2 seed has to play in super wild card weekend. Yeah. Our performance in super wild card weekend, far from super. Straight up, not too bad. 4-2 for me, 5-1 for you. You picked the Rams, I picked the Seahawks. Who'd have thought Russell Wilson would have lost to the combo of John Wolford plus busted Jared Goff? Oh well. Against the spread, you kicked my butt. 4-2, I was 2-4. And best bets, I don't think I went 0-3 all year long. So I'm definitely in postseason form with 0-3, and you were 1-2, and you picked the Saints to cover. You picked the Saints to cover, and you got lucky because it looked like the Bears were going to stay within the 10.
It did.
And I picked I one of my best bets. Well, we both had the Buccaneers, I believe.
Yeah, we lost that by half a point.
The Bills, right? And I had the Steelers. So much for that. And you had the Saints. So that saved you from being 0-3. But the point spreads were very good last week. They were very well selected by the powers that be. I mean, look at it. If the Bears score with time on the clock and go for 2 and get it, you're 0-3 as well.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, hey, it's the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, these damn teams are all there because they're good and they can make magic happen when they need to, and who knows how the hell these games go. All I know is, you know, again, put up that graphic with my record, our records and everything. I don't know how to pick games. That's my problem. I need somebody to teach me what I should be listening to and my own advice about breaking the games down and where to pick the games. I mean, I tell some people, I go, hey, I'm over 500 on the year picking against the spread. And like my better friends are like, that's amazing. Every game you're above 500. But I go, yeah, but then the 3 games I got to pick every week, so my best bets, I'm 10 games under 500. So I obviously have an issue there where I don't understand betting or how to pick it. So, I'll just say, listen to my information. Don't listen to my best bets.
Yeah, and look, it's we understand that people are going to wager their hard-earned money on football. It's been that way ever since they first pumped a football up with air. But, man, it's not easy. And I know that people think that they can figure it out. It's not easy to figure it out. And it's fun. It's fun for us. We don't have to have skin in the game. Our skin in the game is our reputation and trying to avoid looking like idiots.
Right.
Good luck with that. But it is fun. And it does give, even though I love watching football and I don't need that external boost to make it more interesting, when I know that you and I disagree on a game or I've sure. called it a best bet or whatever it is, it adds something to
Definitely
it for
does.
Me. It does enhance the viewing and the experience of winning or losing, whatever the case may be. So let's get into the divisional round weekend. It is the best weekend in football. Even though I'm spoiled by the six games now, I really like Super Wild Card Weekend has closed the gap with divisional round weekend because
yeah,
I love the back-to-back days with three games. But these are extremely impactful games. The winner advances to the conference championship round. And let's get started with the Saturday games. As always, the odds are provided by our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook. It begins with the six-seeded Rams at the top-seeded Green Bay Packers. Packers with the bye. Packers 6.5-point favorites. Packers playing on the frozen tundra. The Rams coming in from Los Angeles. And let's take a look at this thing, both sides of the ball, Chris. Start with your thoughts on how the Packers' offense matches up with the Rams defense.
Well, this is the star-studded event, right? I mean, you know, one of the best offenses in football, the number one scoring offense in football versus the best defense in football, the number one scoring defense in football, and yards allowed. I mean, this is a heavyweight showdown. And to me, really, it's this matchup where I think, you know, it's going to dictate who wins the football game. The Rams are awesome at everything. They're a speed football team primarily. But even though for a speed team, you know, their speed and their guys that they have up front are stronger than they should be for their actual size. Like, right, Aaron Donald's 280-pound defensive tackle. We should be able to move him out of the way, no problem. No, he's got the strength of like a 370-pound man in that 280-pound body. And they got a lot of guys like that. But if there is one issue with the Rams or one way to attack them, and I think the teams you look at that beat them throughout the year, you know, they made them play a little bit of phone booth football. You know, and to me, that's where the game will come down to. If the Packers, Mike, I mean, to me, I don't think Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is in this passing game, I don't know how you feel about this, but I just feel like if it becomes a passing game against this Rams defense with that front four and Jalen Ramsey and his ability to match up with the Devontae Adams, I go, then the Packers are in trouble if it has to be like Aaron Rodgers has to throw the ball 40 or 45 times a game. At least that's the way I feel. How do you feel about that aspect of it?
Well, I mean, think about it. If Ramsey can neutralize Devontae Adams, and I think that is going to be the absolute number one key to the game.
Right.
Will Aaron Rodgers have any room to throw to Devontae Adams? And will Aaron Rodgers try to thread a needle if he sees that Adams is covered, but there's a spot where he can put the ball and Adams can still make the catch? How much does Rodgers trust Adams to make the catch if he's being blanketed by Jalen Ramsey? But if Adams can be neutralized by one guy, then what happens?
I know.
How much time does Aaron Rodgers need before one of these other guys gets open? Will Aaron Donald be breathing down his neck? Does Rodgers still have the mobility to roll out of the pocket, step up, move, run, whatever the case may be? That's to me, it's Ramsey versus Adams and what that does to the rest of the offense. And will Rodgers try to force it in to a tight window? Because look, even when a guy is completely covered, the best quarterback, the most accurate passer, can still find a spot to put the ball where the guy has a chance to catch it.
Right.
You can't completely surround a guy and prevent him from catching a pass no matter how covered he is. Yeah, you can get in and you can knock it away, but there's still a place you can put it where the defensive back can't get to it, and Rodgers has the accuracy to do it. But does he do that or does he move on to plan B? And if they struggle, what are we going to hear? And it's rightfully raised by Packers fans and media. Hey, if you hadn't used a first-round pick on Jordan Love and a fourth-round pick to trade up to get Jordan Love with your first-round pick, and you'd gotten a receiver instead, that receiver would be 17 games into his career right now, and he'd be ready to contribute in this spot.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, they're going to hear that. That's the gamble they took by what they did in the draft. There is. I mean, you're right about your whole matchup there with Devontae and Jalen Ramsey. You know, that's going to be something to watch for. That's where I get into, you know, and that's where it plays right up the Rams' alley. You know, one, if you start throwing the ball too much, yes, Jalen Ramsey can lock down Devontae Adams. You know, they can also just play straight up zone coverages. The Rams want to play pass defense. They want to go, you're not going to throw the ball onto us until, you know, and we're not going to come up and play aggressive run defenses until you show us you can run the ball on us. And that to me is where the game is going to be won or lost, you know, and I would say like maybe November, late October, I didn't know if Green Bay can impose their will physically on the run game against really good defenses in football. I changed my tune towards the end of the year. But I think that balance is going to be key because the Rams, it's a really good defense. The Packers are the best, most balanced offense the Rams have had to play all year long. I don't think anybody has come up to that level, you know, as far as who they've had to play against, as far as balance is concerned. And if they can get into, we're running it, the hell with you, we're going to smash it down there, and now you start to get the Rams having to play some single safety defenses and get away from that, that's when then Rodgers, even if there is a Jalen Ramsey on a Devontae Adams, he might be able to hit Tonyan and the Marquez Valdes-Scantling against very good looks because the Rams are concerned with the run game. And to me, that'll be one of the big questions of the game altogether. Can that Packers offense run the ball on the Rams?
And Aaron Jones is going to be so critical to this because he is in the contract year. This is the contract push. This is now 24 teams at home watching these games, making notes about what they'd like to do to improve their teams. And here's Aaron Jones with an opportunity to get paid the contract that the Packers have yet to give him. He's had two postseason appearances. They were both last year against the Seahawks in a victory in the divisional round. It was a 21 carry, 62 yard effort, 2.95 yards per carry. That's not great. Against the 49ers, it was 12 for 56, a much higher yards per carry average, but they got thumped. They got away from the running game. That is going to be what I think is so critical. Non-existent in the passing game against the Seahawks, one catch for 4 yards, 5 for 27 against the 49ers. He did score 4 total touchdowns in the postseason, but the yardage contribution wasn't there. They're going to need that, and he's got every reason to have a huge game with every opportunity he gets. He's going to hear the cash register ringing if he does something with it, and that ultimate individual incentive could end up making a big difference for the team.
No, definitely. I think he could be one of those weapons that, you know, yeah, we kind of overlook going into this one too. You know, just even the usage of him coming out of the backfield, you know, and trying to find mismatches in the pass game that way, too, could be very key, too, especially if they start to run the ball a little. You know, again, that's where it goes into it. Oh, run the ball. Now the Rams are worried about that, maybe in a base defense or a run-stopping defense. Oh, wait, Aaron Jones was behind Aaron Rodgers in the I formation. Now he's motioned out to receiver, and we've seen they'll throw any route to Aaron Jones. Slants, double moves, go routes, whatever. They don't care. He runs corner routes. He does it all. I'm with you. I expect him to be a big part of that game, you know, and then we'll see where that goes. But the other side of the ball, that's another aspect we got. It's not as sexy, but I do find that interesting too. You know, the Packers have a lot of experience against the inside outside zone scheme because of they play the Vikings twice a year who love to do that. You know, they just played a team and the Bears who have changed into an inside outside zone bootleg team. But the element the Rams bring always that stresses it more than the normal is that speed sweep action. And that's where it's going to be key. I do think the Packers with their guys like the Smith brothers and Gary and Kenny Clark, and then their phenomenal secondary. I think they are a team that can go, hey, let's stop the run. We can trust our secondary versus this pass game. It's kind of simple. And they'll give that Rams offense, I think, a very tough time as well.
Yeah, I'm selling out to stop Cam Akers and whoever else they put back there to run the football. And I'm going to force, whether it's John Wolford or Jared Goff, and Sean McVay is keeping his cards close to the vest, whoever it is, I'm forcing that guy to beat me. I'm looking at the forecast. It's not horrible for the Rams. High of 33, low of 25, 24% chance of precipitation. Thursday, Friday, snow. Saturday, no snow. So the field will not be an issue. The conditions won't be an issue. You know, Jared Goff out in the elements, if he's the guy, there won't be elements, but it will be cold. It could be windy, and I'll take my chances trying to defend Goff or Wolford. I'm not going to let Cam Akers beat me.
No, agreed. And Goff, I mean, we've seen he's had issues throwing the ball in the cold. You know, Goff is not a pure thrower in the warm either, so he's certainly not going to be one in the cold. And that's the last thing I'll say about this game. That's going to be interesting to see who they start at quarterback. McVay has not committed yet. That just tells you that they like John Wolford, and they understand there's things he can do for that offense that maybe fit their team better than Jared Goff. Either way, pick time, and I'm going Packers 23-20. I think this is going to be a close football game. I think that defense is going to make the game ugly, and I think the Rams, even though I don't expect a lot of yards on the offensive side of the ball, as always, they'll nickel and dime themselves, control the clock, and I think this is going to be a nail-biter.
I did pick the Rams to cover last week, even though I picked the Seahawks to win the game. I'm not going to pick the Rams to cover this week. I think that once this thing gets moving for the Green Bay Packers, the defense is going to help set things up. I don't have faith in the Rams offense against the Packers defense. I have much more faith in the Packers offense against the Rams defense than I had the Seahawks offense in hindsight against the Rams defense. I'll say 31-21, Green Bay Packers win the game. And it may be 24-21 late, and the Packers drive down and score a touchdown to ice the game. Either way, 6.5, I'll take the Packers to cover. And let's move on to the next game. We've got and this is our game on Saturday night, and this should be a great one. And here's hoping it snows, because it will look awesome on TV. The Baltimore Ravens, as hot as any team in the NFL right now, if not the hottest team in the NFL, taking on the Buffalo Bills, who were on fire but got cooled off by the Indianapolis Colts, even though the Bills won the game. The Bills are a 2.5-point favorite, and the one thing I've learned from you this year more than anything else is when the home team is a 2.5-point favorite, the odds makers don't know what the hell's going to happen. So let's start figuring out what the hell's going to happen. Let's start with Bills offense versus Ravens defense.
Do the Ravens have a run game to worry about? That's like the first question. Is there, you know, do you think they're going to really worry about the run game of the Bills going into this football game?
Look at what they did to Derrick Henry. They shouldn't have to worry about the Bills running game.
Exactly.
Zach Moss is on injured reserve.
Right.
Devin Singletary's the top guy. They got Devontae Freeman now on the practice squad. He could make an appearance. His best days are well behind him. I don't think they have to worry about the running game.
That's scary to me. That's scary.
Except Josh Allen. That's what they have to worry about.
That's about it. You're exactly right. You know, giddy up, Josh Allen. Giddy up, it's my boy, Blue. And that's, I mean, to me, it's going to have to be more of that, all right? It's what it's going to have to be. You've heard me say going into the playoffs, this is a team that is scary to me as far as matchups are concerned for Buffalo, because they could just put Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell, and Matt Judon on the defensive line and play the middle three on the middle three over the guard center and guard, and then just go, we think we can stop Singletary in the run game with those three guys, and we can drop eight into coverage, and then, you know, next time we might have nine guys at the line of scrimmage, and oh, they all dropped into coverage, and then it's nine guys at the line of scrimmage, and oh, they all blitzed, and we can play man-to-man with Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey behind. To me, that's what's scary for Buffalo. There's just not enough of a threat of a run game to ever make Baltimore scared enough to call run defenses that will set up for Josh Allen and that offense to be able to gash them. Now, we've seen, Mike, I don't know, have the Ravens learned anything? You know, that's another question I'll ask you. You know, the Ravens typically have struggled against offenses like this, a.k.a. the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Well, listen, this is the closest thing to that right now in the game. Allen is like Mahomes. I mean, and the way they throw the ball. So, you know, that's where I go, to you. What do you do if you're Baltimore? How do you approach the game? You know, how do you approach it? Are you playing coverage all game? Are you going to blitz and try to pressure him? You know, what do you do? Because you've been burnt when you try to play over-aggressive against Patrick Mahomes, and that could happen to you this week too.
This is my 2 cents money-back guaranteed take on it, and it's ultra-obvious, which means it's probably incorrect, but there may be some merit to it at its core. I would do everything I could to take Stephon Diggs away from Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I would double him all day long.
Right.
And I would now the question is, which corner do you put on? Do you put Humphrey on him and get help, or do you use Marcus Peters and get help, or use someone else and get help over the top?
Right.
But I would do whatever I had to do to neutralize Stephon Diggs, and I would spy Josh Allen. And, you know, I don't know how much the Ravens do ones against ones at practice, but when you've practiced against Lamar Jackson at some point, maybe you're a little better suited to tracking down a running quarterback and getting him on the ground. But I would want a linebacker devoted to keeping eyes on Josh Allen and a guy that I trusted could get to him and knock him off his feet and maybe, you know, convince him not to run the next time because that hurt a little bit, even though he's got a big frame and it takes a lot to really rattle him. I would want to have a guy tracking Josh Allen all day long and ready to swarm to him if he chooses to run the ball. Now, that leaves you 8 guys, you know, to otherwise take care of the rest of the weapons the Bills have, but I think their only chance of slowing down that offense is to neutralize Stephon Diggs and be ready to get to Josh Allen before he can go vertical on you with his legs.
I would agree totally. And you know, and that's where I also look at, like, you know, Baltimore's a team too that, you know, they don't open up they're not like a great pass rushing team. You know, they're a little bit of like, we just maul you and push the pocket, right? And I think that could be tough on Josh Allen, too. He's best when there's some lanes to kind of move around, and then he can dip out and get to the side or attack the line of scrimmage and run and do those things. This will be a Yannick Ngakoue game. This is the kind of guy that they got the ball to. This is why they traded for him. You know, it's the Josh Allen, the Patrick Mahomes game where, okay, yeah, we're the big, bad Baltimore Ravens, but we've never had a guy that could chase these guys down, these passing mobile quarterbacks, and they've burnt us in by time, and we always lose to them. This is why they got Yannick Ngakoue. We'll see. And I think you pose a really good question about the corner thing. You know, what do they do? How do they match up? You know, I think you brought up an interesting part there to where I would go, I wouldn't be scared every now and then to go, hey, third corner, maybe Jimmy Smith, you take Stephon Diggs. We'll put a safety over the top of you. And now we might let Humphreys and Marcus Peters match up one-on-one with John Brown and Cole Beasley. And now, you know, you can do a lot of different stuff with some of the other guys, whether that's a quarterback spy and maybe an extra guy and a blitzer, have somebody dropping in the middle of the field. So it's very interesting. But I think overall what we're both saying is we think advantage Ravens defense, right?
You got to have an account for Gabriel Davis as well, their rookie receiver.
No question.
Who could end up playing a sneaky big role in this game if they do take away Stephon Diggs.
No question. The approach of the Ravens defense to me is going to be really one of the big factors of the game. If they're going to get up in the Bills' faces and play man-to-man and crowd the line of scrimmage, then I think they're going to lose the game. That's what I say. But if they're going to play pass, you got to prove to us you can run the ball with Devin Singletary in that run game, then I would go, that favors the Ravens. But typically the Ravens have been that pressure, leave your guy on an island type of team, and that's burned them against these type of quarterbacks. So we'll see where this goes.
All right, let's flip it over to the other side of the ball. Ravens offense, Bills defense.
Bills, you got to worry about them getting steamrolled like last week, right? I mean, the Colts were down by 2 scores and didn't even think about changing their approach. In fact, they went, whoa, we're down by 2 scores? Let's just run the ball. We'll gash them in the run game. The Bills struggle against teams that are balanced on offense, like the Colts were last week. You know, the Ravens are not necessarily balanced. The Ravens went up to Buffalo, Lamar Jackson's rookie year, and the Bills had a good approach to stop the Lamar Jackson run game and everything like that. They really did. But of course, within doing that, they had to take chances that you would just go, whoa, were they taking a chance in the back end with coverage. And it at one point led to Mark Andrews down the middle with, like, no safety in the field, an easy touchdown. You know, that to me, like, I think the Bills can slow down the Ravens' run game maybe better than they did the Colts' run game, just because I don't know if they're going to worry about the pass game as much as you had to worry about the Colts and Phillip Rivers and some of those passing weapons. So I go back again to what we saw last week. If the Ravens can just make you defend Hollywood Brown in the outside passing game just a little bit, because I think the Bills are going to have to sell out to stop that running game, then I go, man, advantage Ravens. But that's the question, Mike. I mean, do you think Lamar and Hollywood Brown and that passing game can do enough to where the Bills can't just go all in on playing run defense?
Well, we saw it last week, 7 catches for 109 yards from right. Marquise Brown on 9 targets and 2 carries for 19 yards, including that very creative but also dangerous flip to him down near the goal line that almost went awry. But coming up with ways to specifically get the ball in his hands. How many times have we preached that this year? When you've got playmakers, come up with ways to get the balls in their hands so they can make people miss. They can run past people. They can do the things that they have the incredible God-given ability to do. And I think what the Ravens did last week, now, I don't think they did it as a way to give future opponents something to think about. This was just designed to get past the Titans.
Yeah.
But it gives the Bills something to think about.
Right.
And so now they have to ask themselves, hey, if we go all out to stop that three-headed monster at running back of J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and then Lamar Jackson when he's running the football, what is it going to expose us to
right.
with Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews? And I think it's going to be tough for the Bills. And look, yeah, recency bias, well, it was a playoff game, and the Bills got shredded by the Colts' offense. So my faith in the Bills has been shaken.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hear you all the way, and you know, my answer to, like, your question you just said, are we going to go all in to stop that three-headed monster? What's the repercussions off of that? I think I have faith in Lamar and his ability to throw. I do. I'm not expecting 300 yards, but, you know, like we both said all year long, if you're open, Lamar's going to hit you. It's not like he's, like, he's a good thrower of the football. Is he a great? No. But he's a really good thrower of the football, and he's pretty smart with where he places the football. So I expect to see more of that Hollywood Brown, and I think it's a tough matchup. I think right now we talked about the Ravens as a complete football team. We talked about the Bills really as Josh Allen and a bunch of other good players, and that's where I'm going with the Ravens. And this one, a team that seems to be on a mission, they're hot, they believe in themselves, against the Bills who are just getting into playoff world. And yeah, they got a win last week, but you can't feel ultra confident about the way you played. I'm going Ravens 27-24, Mike.
I am going Ravens 24-21. So we're in the same ballpark, almost the same score. And we're locked in now. And when we make our picks Saturday night, everybody already knows we're on the Ravens. We'll see who picks the Bills. But I can't believe we agree. But we agree. And it's because the Ravens are the hottest team right now in the NFL. And the Bills have cooled off, at least based on what we saw in a playoff game. All right, Let's take a break. When we return, it's Sunday. It's the reunion of Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, two guys that were in a 66-59 shootout in college. And also the two oldest quarterbacks to ever meet in a playoff game, 85 years old combined as of Sunday, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Will get you ready for those games when PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned continue right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned, division around weekend upon us. We spent a lot of time talking about the Saturday game. Sunday games as compelling, if not more compelling. Odds, as always, provided by PointsBet. Let's begin with the early game. It's another 1-6 matchup as the Browns, who stunned the Steelers and the rest of the football world with that victory on Sunday night, go to Kansas City. The Chiefs, a 10-point favorite with an over-under of 56.5. It's Baker Mayfield versus Patrick Mahomes. They had an epic battle when Mayfield was the Oklahoma quarterback and Mahomes was at Texas Tech. Look, I say it all the time, Chris. The Chiefs, when you get their full focus and attention, they reach a higher level. I don't know that the Browns are a team that's going to get their full focus and attention, which may open the door a little bit. Let's do what we did last segment.
Yeah.
Chiefs offense versus Browns defense. Can the Browns defense hold the Chiefs under 30?
It's going to be tough. I don't know. I don't feel confident about that. I mean, I would think they're going to be right around that range, anywhere from 27 to 38 or whatever. That's where the Chiefs live. And I certainly, the Browns defense is, you know, not the Steel Curtain or the Baltimore Ravens of 2000s, to where I think they're like some great unit that can slow this group down. I wish they had Olivier Vernon, another pass rusher. You know, we saw towards the end of the year that Chiefs offense had a hard time pass protecting. I've never seen Mahomes under pressure like that in his short career to this point. You know, so Myles Garrett and company, yeah, I think they can have their moments in this game. You know, here's another angle just to think about a little bit. You know, yeah, I think the Browns are in trouble, you know, man-to-man, anything like that in the back end, no doubt. Now, it does help. We got Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson back this week. That's going to be huge for their football team. They haven't been there the last two games. Denzel Ward's really damn good. He's a guy you can put on Tyreek Hill a few times during the game and go, I'll take my chances. You know, you don't love to do it. You don't want to be consistent with it, but you'll take your chances a few times. Here's another thing, too, Mike. Joe Woods, D coordinator of the Browns, you know, how did he spend his last 2 weeks of the year last year for the working for the San Francisco 49ers? Getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll have a good feel for this offense and things that they did or liked to do or talked about leading up to that game to at least maybe schematically slow them down. But can they actually do it? I don't know. That's a big if.
Yeah, look, I am not going to doubt the Cleveland Browns after what they accomplished on Sunday night. The difference, though, is if you spot the Browns 24, 28, whatever, and you're the Chiefs, flip the switch. I mean, that's the thing about the Chiefs. They're going to flip the switch at some point. I could see the Browns going up 10-0. Flip the switch. That's what the Chiefs do. And you can come up with the best possible scheme you can think of. The Chiefs are going to take what's left. If you're taking away everything deep, they'll be patient underneath. If you're completely taking away the pass, they'll run the ball. This to me, if the question is, as I posed it, over under 30 points, the Chiefs are going to score more than 30 against that defense. It's going to be very difficult when they've got 2 weeks to get ready. We know how good Andy Reid is when he's got 2 weeks to get ready. And the Chiefs have been through all the adversity you could imagine. I don't see the Chiefs offense being slowed down by anyone at this point.
I hear you. And, you know, when you look at Cleveland's schedule, right, from the year, I mean, these are things I like to look at as I break down these games and think about who I'm going to pick. They really never played an offense like this all year. And I know people are going to go, well, there's no offenses like, I mean, offenses that were pass first, big time arm, aggressive throwers down the field. You know, they never had a deal with Justin Herbert or Josh Allen or Mahomes, or Tom Brady in that offense. They never really had anything like that coming to town all year long, except for the Houston Texans. But on that day, the weather was so bad, nobody could throw the ball. So they never really had to defend the Texans' pass game. And that's where I don't like it either. You know, when you have to play a team like Kansas City and you've never played anything like them all year and have no reference of them specifically either, you know, you haven't played them in the last few years, I think that could be a little scary and maybe shock them a little bit by, whoa, these guys are faster. Whoa, Mahomes is more elusive than I thought and looked like on screen. That first time you see Kansas City in person, you know, it can be scary. But I'll say one last time, too, before we flip over to the other side of the ball. You know, you and I have talked over the years a lot. The Chiefs, for whatever reason, have had issues with this defensive scheme. You know, whether it's the Colts losing at home to them last year, the 49ers in the Super Bowl. We saw the Chargers slow them down earlier this year with that scheme. You know, so that's where I give Browns a little hope, but I don't know if they truly have the Jimmies and the Joes to come through and match up with Kansas City's offensive weapons.
All right, let's flip it over. Chiefs defense overlooked because it's all about Mahomes and company. Browns offense effective as long as you can give Baker Mayfield time. And the offensive line last week did an excellent job. Patchwork group because of the COVID thing. Joe Bitonio wasn't available. It worked. TJ Watt was not in Baker Mayfield's face. Will Chris Jones or others be harassing and haranguing Baker Mayfield on Sunday?
Well, Chris Jones is a different animal. I mean, to me, and you know, we've talked about this a lot too, other than Aaron Donald, Chris Jones is the most disruptive, dominant interior defensive lineman in football. He's a force. What do you do, like, if you're the Browns, Mike? Your offense is kind of hot. You're moving the ball just about at will against teams when you've been healthy, other than that Jets game, right, where they had all the receivers out and all that. You've been really able to move the ball against anybody and be effective. Do you continue to attack against what is an NFL average defense, or would you play the we're going to run the ball and try to run out the clock and do that thing a little bit? What do you think is the best approach? I'm torn when I think about that.
Well, I think that, you know, we talked last week about the importance of the Colts keeping Josh Allen on the sideline. I think that's job number one.
You do.
And that may go against every instinct of Baker Mayfield. He wants to get into a shootout with Patrick Mahomes because he won a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. But that was a different time when Mahomes was the guy with the lesser talent around him and Baker Mayfield was the guy with the superior team. When you have the lesser team, especially the lesser offense, and I think we can all agree on that, and Browns fans would agree on that. Yep. The Browns offense is not the Chiefs offense. You do what you have to do to keep them on the sideline for as long as you possibly can. So you grind it out, take the full 40 seconds of the play clock, and get Baker Mayfield to just go along with that, even if he wants to get into a gunslinging contest with Mahomes. That's going to be the key. That's what they need to do. If they want to have a chance, maybe that's how you keep them under 30. Limit their possessions.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I just don't know if they can do it. I don't know. That would be the big question to me. We have said this so many times. When the Chiefs want to stop something on defense, they can stop it. It doesn't matter who it is. Derrick Henry, the 49ers last year in the Super Bowl, when they want to do that, they can do it. You know, so I'm going to play, and I'm going to make my pick here. I'm going to pick Chiefs 34-27. I am, because I just think ultimately, I do think this could end up being a little bit of a, even though the Browns might try to run the clock out, I wouldn't be shocked if they're like, well, damn, Chubb ran off left tackle for 50 yards, and then we ran the bootleg the next play, and the guy was wide open, you know, over the middle of the field, and we scored. We meant to run out the clock, but we scored. I don't know. You know, they are that kind of offensive line to where the Chiefs are going to have to bring people up there to stop the run game, but I still go with the Chiefs. I got to see them lose before I pick against them, and I think they'll be able to slow down that Browns running game. 34-27, Chiefs.
You've got the Browns covering. I've got the Chiefs 35-24, the Chiefs covering.
Okay.
So we agree on the winner, but we disagree on the winner as it relates to the application of the point spread. All right, this is the game of the weekend in my view. Round three, Saints-Buccaneers. No one's ever beaten Tom Brady three times in 1 year. Drew Brees is going to try to do it 2 days after his 42nd birthday. It seems far more likely that Brees is going to be done after this season than Brady. Can the Buccaneers, now at the tail end of the season, after they've had all year long to get up to speed, and they're a far different team than what they were in week one
right.
at New Orleans, week nine when they got shredded at home on Sunday Night Football 38-3 by the Saints. Can they actually pull it off and avoid being swept in three games by the Saints, Chris?
Let's do our
yeah. thing, truncated.
Right.
But offense, defense. Let's start looking at the Bucs' offense where it is right now against the Saints' defense.
Right. Well, you said it. Like, you know, it's a different Bucs team, you know, than where they were offensively in that 38-3, you know, domination by the Saints on that Monday Night Football game. They were still. I mean, we came in doing our PFT show the next day after that game, still going, wait, what are the Bucs doing? Why are they still in the shotgun and trying to spread it out and run the Brady, Edelman, Wes Welker, Patriots offense? Remember, that's what we were saying. It was really right after that where I feel like it started to change when they finally were like, hey, Tom, we don't have all these Wes Welker, Edelman plays. I'm sorry. So instead, we're just going to protect you and you're going to have to adjust to what we do best. Like, and you're going to have to start throwing the ball down the field. And that's where they've changed and become such a dangerous offense, you know? So that's the battle of the heavyweights. This Bucs offense, that's as good as anybody with explosive plays or throwing the ball, as good as Buffalo, Mahomes, and Kansas City against the Saints defense. That's, you know, you make me pick one defense in football right now, I'm going to pick the Saints. I'm going to pick the Rams. I'm going to pick the Saints twice, second. That's to me where it is all about. And here's the question for me, Mike. I don't know. Do you think the Saints can pressure Brady in this football game? Do you think their front four can get there against the way Tampa's protecting right now against Brady? What's your thought there?
Well, look at what the Tampa Bay offensive line was able to do against Washington. And we expected that Tom Brady was potentially going to have the kinds of issues we've seen in past playoff games where it's fallen apart. The Super Bowl losses to the Giants, that ugly loss to the Jets in 2010. Just a few weeks after the Patriots had splattered the Jets managed to get the pressure up the middle. Pressure up the middle, pressure up the middle. That's the key. It's not around the edges. It's up the middle. You have to disrupt it. You have to get right at him. I don't know if he's – you just can't. I mean, who in the world can function in the pocket when they are blasting right through the middle in your face? You're not going to be able to function. I don't care who you are. You got to have the mobility to run out of the pocket, which clearly Tom Brady doesn't have. So that's the key. And if the Bucs were able to shut down Washington, they should be able to slow down the Saints and give Tom Brady time to throw the ball.
I would think so. I would. I'm with you there too. And you know they've just made a concerted effort to always do it. You know, they bring in extra offensive tackles to play the tight end position, and they have six offensive linemen pass protecting. So he feels like he's, you know, he feels like he's in a fortress at times. So that is going to be key. And then because of that, like, I'm with you. I think they're going to be able to protect him with just a four-man rush. So now the Saints, okay, you're going to blitz and do some things and be creative? All right. I don't know. We'll see. The way Brady's throwing the ball and those weapons are catching it, that's going to be scary. So I think that's going to be very interesting. And to me, I think we hit it. That's the theme of the game. Can they get pressure on Brady? Are they going to have to compromise everything to blitz and then leave Lattimore and those guys one-on-one in the back end? If they have to do that too much, they're playing with fire and they could certainly get upset.
All right, other side of the ball, Saints offense, all their weapons back, firing on all cylinders. Can the Buccaneers slow them down?
I don't know if they can. I don't. You know, like we talked about the last few weeks, when you can block the Bucs' blitzes, you can gash them in the pass game. And the first that 38-3 victory, this is where I worry about the Bucs. The 38-3 victory, Mike, you know, going back and watching that a little bit, the Bucs tried to play coverage and be conservative early, but Breeze and them just picked them apart. And then it became, okay, we're going to blitz and try to get in your face. And they had a little success, but then once the Saints kind of figured out, okay, they're changing their approach, you know, they blocked it up and still picked them apart. So that's where I don't know. The Bucs defense is the big question mark to me in this football game. You know, it really is. And the Saints offense, it's real good. I don't think it's great. Breeze's ability to make plays and do things like that, it's still certainly a question mark, but I think they've been trying to be more aggressive throwing the ball down the field to a degree with Drew Breeze. But I don't know, Mike, how do you feel about that? Do you think the Bucs can match up with them and slow down the Saints offense?
They're going to have a hard time. They're going to have to take some chances. They're going to have to hope to get lucky. They're going to have a plan for Michael Thomas. You need to go back and look at what the Vikings did to Michael Thomas in the playoffs last year to neutralize him.
Yeah.
Then you got to deal with Alvin Kamara. Don't look at what the Vikings did to neutralize Alvin Kamara a few weeks ago.
Right.
Please don't do that.
Right.
So it's going to be a challenge. I mean, this could become a shootout. It could become, keeping up with this theme of keeping the opposing quarterback on the sidelines drinking Gatorade, it could be that you want to keep the Saints offense off the field. That could be what the Bucs try to do. So run the ball, slow it down, grind it out, and force the Saints to have a greater sense of urgency when they're on the field. This could be a lower scoring game than we would think. It could be. If the Bucs play it that way, because we know the Saints have that methodical offense.
Sure.
It could be maybe the Buccaneers go into a kind of a deeper, almost a cover two shell type of a thing, force them to work their way down the field, bend but don't break. Then when they get the ball, slow it down, and we get a game where, in hindsight, we're like, holy crap, it was 17-13.
I mean, these type of games can certainly lend itself to that, you know, especially when you're playing a team for the third time and you know every trick they got and every little thing they like to do as far as attacking, to where, yeah, you as a coach can't schematically ever create or coach something up to just get somebody wide open or gash somebody. I wouldn't be surprised. This game, I wouldn't be shocked if it was 38-34 or, like you said, 20-17, 17-14, something like that. But in the end, I think I'm going to go with the team that I've seen win twice. And the team that, you know, even though I question a little bit some of the things with the Saints, I guess my biggest question about this game in general is the Bucs defense. I don't trust that. So I'm going Saints 28-24.
All right. We've agreed on every game so far this weekend. And I'm not motivated by my desire to catch you in the straight-up contest for the postseason. But four straight years of the Saints with some sort of what in the hell was that exit to the postseason. 20th anniversary of the Tuck Rule game.
Oh, okay. That's amazing.
I'm gonna shoot my shot, and I'm going to say that we're going to have some type of screwy, messed up ending where the Buccaneers win this game at a time when it looks like they're not going to win the game. I'm going to say Bucs 24, Saints 23, and there's going to be something about this that makes us say, holy crap, but a word other than crap. That's my shot. I'm rooting for that. I want that. We want that last game to be memorable, and it likely will be the last game of Drew Brees.
Man, if there's karma in the universe, it should go the other way around. It's just, you know, 20-year anniversary. You don't even know if that guy would be the guy he is today if that wasn't called there.
Well,
and that's where I just go, man, and the way the Saints have lost, like if it happens that way, I hope it's the Bucs that have the end of the game disaster and the Saints win the football game just for pure karma purposes.
And it's not the actual anniversary, but it's damn close to it. The 17th is the day of the game, and the 19th is the 20th.
Close enough.
The 19-year anniversary, crap. That killed a good narrative. It's the 19-year anniversary. Either way, Bucs win. We're going to take when we return divisional round prop. Boy, that really.
Yeah, it's going to hurt your voice.
How has he done it all these years?
It's how he
BFTPM
naturally talks.
And Chris Sims unbuttoned back right after this. A lot of cigarettes, apparently. PFTPM, Chris Sims unbuttoned. You know, they thought that we needed a filler segment with only four games because, like, we wouldn't talk long enough about the four games. Well, guess what? We did.
So they don't know who they're messing with.
The filler segment's not going to be very long. Some divisional round props. Quarterbacks to pass for more than 300 yards this weekend. Over under of the eight quarterbacks is 3.5. You going over or you going under?
Ooh, I am going to go. Let me just calculate this real quick. I'm going under. I'm going to go under.
I'm going over. Give me the over. I just gut feeling over. More rushing yards, Cam Akers for the Rams or Aaron Jones for the Packers in that first game of the weekend?
Oh. I'm going to go.
Akers is at an over under of 70.5, and Jones is at 68.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Aaron Jones here. I am. I think the Rams are going to be so worried about Rodgers in the pass game, it's going to lead to a few more running lanes for Aaron Jones.
Lamar Jackson had over 130 rushing yards against the Titans. His over under for the game against the Bills is 75.5. Which way are you going?
Oh, this is like, you know, we talked about it. The Bills really defended their Lamar run game well last year. That's where I want to go. I'm going to go like barely under, because I think, okay, he might not run, but J.K. Dobbins, and I think his right arm will make some big plays in this game too. I'm going to go barely under.
I'm going over. All it takes is him busting through one time with one of those runs that they just can't get to him. They know what they want to do, but their legs won't let them get there. All it takes is one of those, and he's over.
Yeah.
All right, more receiving yards Saturday. Devontae Adams for the Packers against the Rams, or Stephon Diggs for the Bills against the Ravens?
I'm going to go with Diggs. I am, because I just think the Ravens will take more chances by putting him on an island and go, okay, the Ravens can't help themselves. And I just think Josh Allen, their ability to make plays, even when you cover them in scramble and like off schedule plays, I'm going to go with that, where, man, Devontae's got to deal with Jalen Ramsey and them. I'm going to go with Diggs.
I'm going with Adams, because I think Rodgers is still going to throw it to Adams, and he's going to find a window and get it through, whereas Allen will pivot to one of these other guys because he's got more weapons other than his number one receiver than Rodgers does. I think Rodgers is going to have to throw it to Devontae Adams. More receiving yards for the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce?
I'm going to go Hill. I mean, this is a hard one. They're both awesome. I know that. But the Browns' defense, more times than not, lends itself to almost like man-to-man on the outside. Excuse me, as I choke on myself. I would be disappointed if Kansas City doesn't just play a little bit like, our guy's better than your guy on the outside. We're going to play one-on-one. They should do that. I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill here.
I'll go with Kelce just to make it fun. Most receiving yards in the Saints-Buccaneers game. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, or Michael Thomas?
I'm going to go Michael Thomas. I think he's just going to slowly shred them apart in the middle of the football field. Might not be big plays, but just consistent 8 and 9 and 10 yarders.
I think it's going to be Mike Evans. I think we're going to see a Larry Fitzgerald type of performance from Mike Evans as he gets closer and closer to something he's been waiting his whole career to do, grabbing that brass ring. I think we're going to see Mike Evans reach a higher level. And also, he had that injury that ended up being a near miss.
Right.
I think he's going to play with a reckless abandon. You know, we saw how Jarvis Landry was playing on Sunday. I think that's how we're going to see Mike Evans against the Saints when Sunday night rolls around. All right, let's take a break. Our best bets and our Folsom Prison Blues pick. We will do that when PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned continue right after this. Wrapping up PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned divisional round preview. Best bets time. We're doing two this week since there's only four games, plus our Folsom Prison Blues pick, which is the one game that if we were lying dead in a gutter is the game that we would say is going to go the way we think it will go. Let's start quickly. Best bet, who do you got?
Well, I'm taking the Rams. I don't think the Rams lose by more than 6.5 points to the Green Bay Packers. That's going to be my first pick.
All right, I'm taking the Packers. There you go. Next best bet.
I'm going to go with the Browns. I don't think the Chiefs are going to beat them by more than 10 points. I think the Browns are hot right now. I think they're going to be in playoff mode, and the Chiefs are going to take a few minutes to get their feet underneath them.
I've got the Ravens because I think they're going to win and they're underdogs. That one's easy for me. What's your Folsom Prison Blues pick? The one game, if you're dying in a gutter, you would pick to win this weekend straight up.
The Chiefs beat the Browns, even though I got the Browns to cover it. I mean, yeah, it's the one where I just don't see the Chiefs losing the football game.
Team that hasn't been in the playoffs for 18 years versus team that just ran the table coming back from double digits in every game and had 2 weeks to get ready. Sorry, Browns, the road ends here for now. Show ends here for now. We'll see you next time. Everybody enjoy the games this weekend.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.